Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
I hate to disappoint you, but I will have to circle back with you on that as well.
Okay. I'm ready to circle back at any time. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. Today is Ash Wednesday. I almost said Good Friday. Lent is not over. Lent is just beginning today. And I hope you have by now gone to relevantradio.com/Lent and signed up for Father Rocky's premium edition. And they're absolutely free, by the way. But his premium edition, brand new Lenten lessons on the Mass. They're video-based, and you haven't seen them before. Nobody has. But if you signed up at relevantradio.com/Lent, you received your first one this morning, and it's not too late. So go there and sign up, and that way, beginning today and each day during Lent, all the way through to Easter, you're going to receive every morning in your email box a brand new, about 2 minute long, reflection on the Mass. And in 2 minutes, you're going to learn something new. I watched the first one this morning. It's on holy water. And I think you'll like it. In fact, I know you'll like it. And you could tell your friends and family about it. Just go to relevantradio.com/Lent and get signed up. All right. We are taking phone calls today. As per usual, the number is 888-914-9149. And in a few moments, I'm going to return to an email, a very thoughtful email that was sent to me by a nice listener. Her name is Veronica. And I'll kind of give a little recap of what her perspective is about Russia and Ukraine, and then continue responding point by point to some of the questions that she asked me in her letter. In the meantime, though, let's go to Matt in Lodi, Wisconsin. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Matt. So here's my situation. I've been watching this for the last 7 days, and I've been watching President Zelensky's addresses both to his people and to the European Parliament the other day. And his address to the European Parliament, in my mind, had to have been a similar impassioned plea that a new American nation made to France several hundred years ago when they were fighting a war for their independence from Britain. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I cannot separate that vision from several hundred years ago in this country where we made the impassioned plea, we want to be free. We want to have liberty. We want to raise our children on our own land without foreign oppression. It sounded exactly like the plea that Americans made to the French.
Right.
And it really bothers me that we don't remember our own history, and we do not say to the Ukrainians, just as the French helped us win our liberty, we will help you. And
let me
it almost seemed wrong according to the just it seemed wrong according to the just war doctrine to say, yes, we recognize you should be free, but we're not really going to help you. We'll give you some weapons, but not the ones that will really turn the tide against your aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
It seems immoral.
Mm-hmm. You are correct, sir, and let me offer you something I've been thinking about personally, privately, and prayerfully over the last, certainly over the last week, but especially over the last 2 days. What you're saying, I believe, is correct. In other words, there is a moral obligation on the part of those who can help somebody who's being attacked to help them. But I want to walk through what some of the possible repercussions are. First of all, not that this is a repercussion, but I am well aware of the mainstream leftist media in this country trying to herd us into a war and trying to, I don't know if it's because, as President Eisenhower referred to the in military industrial complex, which needs as its lifeblood money that comes in from the sale of armaments. And you're not going to be selling many armaments if there's no reason to use them. I mean, if they're not being expended and having to be replaced. Raytheon and Boeing and all the other companies that are part of the military industrial complex, you know, they stand to make a lot of money when there is a conflict because their equipment is used and destroyed and more of it needs to be had. So whether it's because of that or maybe partly that, or for geopolitical reasons, or for some combination thereof, I'm aware of the fact, and I think many people who are paying attention are, I'm sure you're one of them, Matt, that there is a desire on the part of many in the government to get us into yet another war so that for their own reasons, there is some gain to them, whatever that may be. I don't want another war. So I think we have to juxtapose, on the one hand, our need, or at least the moral imperative, to assist a country that is beleaguered and being attacked and invaded, as Ukraine is. But at the same time, there's some other factors that weigh in on this. And here are those. Here are the ones that have been really weighing heavily on my mind, Matt. And I don't really, aside from my wife and maybe a few close friends, I haven't really expressed these publicly at all. And that is, I don't know if people fully understand, and I'm not sure I fully understand, quite frankly, what would happen if we got into a war with Russia. Now, it would be one thing if France and Germany and other countries in Europe were to start rolling their tanks in and shooting at Russian soldiers, etc. Then not only would those countries be at war with Russia, but NATO would be at war with Russia, in which case we would be at war with Russia because we're members of NATO, and this pact has as its premise that if one member is attacked, that all the members come to its defense. So I suspect that one reason why we haven't seen American jets in there or tanks or any of the above is because once we do that, we are now at war with Russia. So the second part is, once we're at war with Russia, all bets are off, which means that cities could easily be nuked. You live in Lodi, Wisconsin, and I'm not sure, you know, where that is in the state, but let's say that what large city is it near? Is it near
It's Milwaukee? About 20 minutes north of Madison, the capital.
Madison, okay. I don't know if Madison is on any strategic nuclear strike maps, you know, in Russia. I don't know. But I'll bet Milwaukee probably is. So this is one of the things that weighs very heavily on me, Matt, is that if what I'm not sure people fully understand is if this turned into a war, many of us could be dead very quickly. And our country as we know it now, not to mention the rest of the world, certainly Russia, could be utterly destroyed. I mean, everything that we think that we take for granted, your home, your, not to mention your life, of course, but your home, all the things that we do on a day-to-day basis could all go away very quickly. And I can't help but think and I hope that is a major deterrent that would prevent people from too hastily entering into something that could easily spin out of control, and then we're all at war, and many of us are dead. And that could happen quickly.
What is the culpability, though, for the United States? The same argument could be made during World War II, is if Germany had nukes, do we just let all of the people who died in the Holocaust die because we're afraid of risking our lives to defend those who are unjustly being killed? That's the argument that I have, is that our Lord tells us that we are to lay down our life for our brother. And these are our fellow human beings that are being unjustly attacked and killed. They were in a sovereign country. Despite what their political leanings may be, they should have right to determine whether they want to align with the West or with the East. And if they make the decision with the West, it shouldn't be, Russia's now justified to go in and kill them. Why?
No, and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that Russia is in any way justified to go in and do what it's doing. Take a look at all the other places around the world where this is happening. You know, Boko Haram, to use a much smaller, much, much smaller example, is running wild in Nigeria and other Central African countries, killing by the thousands and tens of thousands of innocent people. We don't have troops in Nigeria defending those innocent people. You know, that's an example of an atrocity that cries out to heaven for vengeance, but we don't send troops in there to take care of that. So what I'm saying here, Matt, is not that necessarily that we shouldn't defend Ukraine. All I'm saying is that if we did, we would be in World War III. And then all bets are off. And it's very possible that everything and everybody gets destroyed very quickly. My son, for what it's worth, Matt, my son was 10 years in the nuclear Navy. He was a nuclear reactor operator. And he was a chief when he got out of the Navy. And these ballistic missile submarines, and the Russians have at least as many as we do, any single one of them, if it were to fire off its payload of ballistic missiles, just park off the coast and then just fire these missiles, could devastate an entire country from just one submarine. And who knows how many we've got, and who knows how many Russia has. And that's just one platform, not to mention all the other platforms. So my grave concern is that if this is not handled very delicately, that, you know, it's like I was saying yesterday, Gerald Celente, his famous line is, you know, when people have lost everything and they have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And if Putin is as irrational or as power hungry as he may be, I don't know, but he certainly suggests that he might be. What do you do if you're completely isolated and your country has been completely cut off from commerce and all the other ways in which we're punishing him? And we should punish him, that's for sure. What do you do if you feel like, well, I've got nothing else to lose, so I'm just going to start launching some nukes? That's something none of us wants to see. What do you think?
I think it's a risk, Pat. I think that the Russians know that if they do this, it's the end of them as well. And I do believe that even if Putin is mad, the people that surround him recognize the consequences of taking that kind of action and would prevent it from happening. I think the moral
prevent what
consequences
from happening?
To prevent any type of nuclear launch from happening. It's not like he has an electronic button and he just pushes it and off they go.
His defense minister just threatened in a speech in the last couple of days the use of nuclear weapons against nations that oppose Russia in this. I'm sure you saw that speech, didn't you?
I saw that too. And personally, I don't think that they would go that far. I mean, the world has seen what happens when the United States used them during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows it's a zero-sum game. Once it happens, it's
right.
All over.
That's my point.
But
you just said what I'm thinking.
I think using that to justify allowing people who are innocent to be killed is morally worse than being justified in front of the Lord. When you stand up and be judged, and the Lord said, I gave you the means and the opportunity to help your fellow Christians, your brother humans, and you stood by and watched them be slaughtered, what is worse for you to attempt to help them or to let them die?
I don't disagree at all, Matt. And so you and I are on the same page there. It's really rather a question of how do you help them? And how do you do it in a prudent way that can accomplish the objective? And it seems like that's what's being done now, you know, with the sanctions and the cutting off of Russian flights from our airspace and all the way in which the different countries are making life miserable for Putin to try to make him turn back from what he's doing. I think this is a good first step in that direction. It may get to the point where we actually have to fight against Russia. And if that's what it gets to, then that's what it gets to. But see, you and I are not arguing over that. What I'm saying is it necessary at this moment for the U.S. to say, all right, we're going to send in our troops into Ukraine, and then we're fighting with Russia? Have we reached that point yet? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think we're to the point of sending in troops, but I think supplying the necessary weapons for the Ukrainian army to mount a sufficient resistance. And while javelins and Stinger missiles might help, what they need are, you know, Patriot drones. They need aircraft. I mean, there's a 40-mile convoy that's sitting there supposedly out of fuel. So why aren't we providing the necessary weapons for the Ukrainians to defend themselves?
Take a look at how Ukraine has been doing in the last several days. they've been doing far better than anyone thought they would, and they're not doing it with pitchforks and slingshots. I mean, they are becoming more and more armed by Western countries. Germany, the United States, others are sending a lot of weapons, and there are a lot of weapons who are already there or were already there. But the other thing too is, if you look at the map, you'll see now in the way in which the Russian forces have encircled Ukraine, that getting these weapons to them now may be a lot more difficult than it would have been, say, a week ago.
I still think that we need to do more. I really feel, watching the pleas from mothers in Kiev holding their children saying, please help us, it just seems wrong to allow an aggressor nation to continue to do this.
Well, I mean, at what point do you say, take the Boko Haram example I gave you in Central Africa, you know, killing women and children, killing men indiscriminately, enslaving them? Would you have advocated for the U.S. military to drop paratroopers in there and start fighting against Boko Haram?
I think the difference there is the willingness of the people to defend themselves and to give them the means to do that. I mean,
but look at Ukraine though, Matt. What are they doing? They're defending themselves, and they're doing a very good job of it.
I know, but you know, the EU asked or said that they would provide, I guess the NATO spokesman said that they would provide planes, and he spoke out of turn. The Ukrainian pilots showed up to get those planes, presumably to help, you know, eliminate some of this convoy and provide better defense of their soldiers. As soon as they showed up, they said, "Well, nope, sorry, we can't give you these planes." You know,
all right, but in a way that's beside the point, Matt. Here we're talking past each other. All I'm saying is that, yes, we do have an obligation to defend the weak and defenseless when it's necessary, but we have to go about it the right way. What I'm saying is, and I want to make sure you know where I'm coming from, is that I don't see where it has reached the point where the United States needs to send our men and women over there to fight against Russia, to enter into what would then become World War III with nukes and everything else. I don't think we've reached that point. I think there are plenty of other options that we can resort to before, hopefully we never get to that point, but before we do. In the meantime, I would just draw your attention to how apparently successful Ukraine has been in the last 4 or 5 days in fending off the Russian invasion. Now, that could also be theater. Maybe we're being led to believe that Russia is crumbling under the ferocious counterattacks of the Ukrainians, and maybe that's not true. I'm prepared to believe that we may be being misled on this, but assuming that we're not, don't you think that Ukraine has been doing an amazing job thus far?
I do, but I also see the parallels with Hitler moving into Czechoslovakia, the Sudetenland, and then into Poland.
Right.
And
right.
We look back and we had the same arguments then. It hasn't risen to the point where we need to respond to this.
But here's the thing, though. When Hitler went into the Sudetenland, or when he rolled into Poland, their ability in those regions to defend themselves was nil. And so he captured both of those territories very quickly with very little resistance. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here in Ukraine is very different.
That took several weeks for Hitler to do that. I mean, Russia has moved into Ukraine fairly quickly in the matter of 7 days. So I think we look back in history and say that Hitler had this blitzkrieg, but it was not as fast as we see it happening now. And a number of troops that Hitler used moving into these areas is nowhere near the amount that Russia has mobilized moving into Ukraine. And I personally think that Putin is looking at maps from 200 years ago and seeing the Russian sphere of influence at that time and what it is now and where he's at in his life.
Maybe. Maybe not, though, Matt. If some bully was over at your house in your front yard beating you up or trying to attack you, and I saw that from across the street, and you were beating him up because you were stronger, I don't know that I would necessarily need to go over there and defend you if you were handling the fight yourself. Thanks for the call, Matt. I appreciate it. Let's talk again. I'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
We are back. Thanks for listening. 888-914-9149 is the number to call if you want to be on the air. I'm taking all comers on all topics.
Hey,
so
Pat.
Please. Yeah.
That last call was great, and you spent a lot of time with him, which was good. We just got a tweet here from
I haven't been keeping an eye on my Twitter. I need to open
Jesse Duds, I guess is what their name is. It says, "Thank you, Patrick Madrid. I had my kids in the car during your last caller. It was the best explanation for what is going on in the world today. We love our morning drive to school." That's awesome.
That is awesome. Thank you. So thanks, Jesse. I just pulled it up as you were reading it. Thank you, Jesse. And if the kids are still in the car with you, hey, kids, shout out. Well, that's nice. Well, Cyrus, I mean, you know, because we talk about this stuff a lot behind the scenes, before the show, in and around shows. And I don't claim to have a lock on what's going on. I really don't. I try to understand as best I can. I'm looking at a variety of different sources as best I can. I certainly don't trust the much, anyway, of the liberal, far-left mainstream media in the United States, or the right-wing media, for that matter. I think we have to be discerning and careful.
But they've been so good the last couple of years. I mean, it's hard not to trust them fully and completely and blindly.
I love it when you're sarcastic, Cyrus. No, I know what you mean. But we are, if we're not careful, we will be herded into a war, and we don't want another war. We don't want another war. I just saw a breaking story just now on social media, Cyrus, that Russian paratroopers have been parachuted into, is it Kharkiv? I think it's the name of the city, kind of a large eastern city in Ukraine. And they are now doing ground operations there. That seems to be a new development. So just once again, for anybody, maybe you're coming into the conversation just now, I am not saying that we should immediately assume, you know, that Ukraine is 100% right or that Russia is 100% wrong, at least in the things that may have led up to what's going on now. I'm not saying that. I haven't said that. Some people, Cyrus, are coming out with these, in my view, reprehensible arguments. The president of Ukraine's a Jew. So what? Irrelevant. The president of Ukraine, he's okay with gay marriage. So what? What does that have to do with the fact that his country is being invaded? There are so many facets involved here, not to mention the one that I mentioned a moment ago, and I just would like to mention it again for the sake of kind of a reset, not the Great Reset. I'm not in favor of the Great Reset, but a little reset here on the show, just to offer a sober thought on this issue. Please understand, with the U.S. military arsenal being what it is and the Russian military arsenal being what it is, one of the considerations that I believe with all my heart has to go into making a prudent decision about how best to handle this situation, because I, like you, if you're a good person and you have a good heart, I, like you, am concerned about and worrying about what is our moral obligation to help the people in Ukraine. Do we have a moral obligation to help the people in Ukraine? And if so, how do we go about helping them? And what is the most prudent means of doing that, all other things being equal? But please don't lose sight of this issue. If we roll tanks into Ukraine, or if we start strafing Russian convoys, or we send our fighters over there and we start dogfighting with the Russians and shoot them down, or vice versa, we're at war with Russia at that point. Try to wrap your head around what that will mean. Among other things, it will mean that if we are in a hot shooting war with Russia, which we've never been in, not since, let's say, the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, we've never been in that situation directly, but once we are, it's go for broke time. It's you're in it to win it time. And given the incredible, massive arsenal of nuclear weapons that we have, and they have, that's the kind of situation that would, I think, spin out of control very quickly. And we're talking about the potential for billions of people to die. I'm not Mr. Doom and Gloom. I'm not. And 2 weeks ago, this was not a thought on my mind. A week ago, it was sort of a nagging idea in the back of my mind. Today, it's very much on my mind. And that is that if this is not handled prudently, and remember that prudence is the virtue that governs your decisions on what is the right thing to do in this case under these circumstances. If the only tool you have is a hammer, you will approach every problem as if it were a nail. So in this situation, asking God for wisdom and light and guidance, ask yourself this question. What is the prudent thing to do now, here and now, in the circumstances that we're in? Okay, a lot of bad stuff was done, maybe on both sides, and geopolitical machinations, and the CIA, and all kinds of stuff that we're probably not even aware of that has been going on behind the scenes. All of that being the case, what's the most prudent way of handling this situation here and now under the circumstances? And I'm telling you, not because I like saying this, but if we get into a head-to-head war with Russia, you and everyone you know may be dead in the not-too-distant future. That's how big and how absolute this could become very, very quickly. And I don't want that. Jesus doesn't want that. Pope Francis doesn't want that. I sure hope that Vladimir Putin doesn't want that, and that Joe Biden doesn't want that. I don't want that. Cyrus, do you want that?
That's the last thing I want.
I think we're all agreed then, right? Let's go to the phones. Mary in Cape May, New Jersey. Welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I just lost you as you were saying that. First of all, thank you. I really appreciate that you're talking about this because I really like to listen to relevant radio. But thanks. In the last, few days, all I really want to do is hear about what's happening with Ukraine. And so I've been turning to other news sources. So it's nice to be able to just stick with relevant radio and get your perspective, which I think is usually spot on. And as it is now, I 100% agree with everything that you're saying. And I just, for Matt who called, he was comparing this, to Hitler and, would we have done anything with Hitler? Would we have just let him go? But China is doing right now exactly what Hitler did. They have concentration camps, and they are separating people from their children, the Uyghur Muslims, and they're using them as slave labor. And we're not doing anything about that. We maybe mention it here and there, but we're not doing anything about it. And
they kill people just to harvest their organs, to sell them to wealthy organ leaders. Yeah, and we could look at North Korea as another example. I mean, just to make your point, Mary, I wonder if the same hawks who are so adamant that we should be rolling tanks into Ukraine right now to oppose Putin, where are they when it comes to these other human rights atrocities? And why aren't they agitating for that?
China just took over Hong Kong. I mean, didn't China just effectively take over Hong Kong? I mean,
well, about 20 years ago.
Recently, I think that they lost all of their
autonomy.
Anyway, regardless, I just, your opinion on why we're not really doing anything about current day concentration camps in China, that's not to minimize what's happening in Ukraine. It's just an interesting juxtaposition when you see what China's doing and nobody's doing anything about it,
There is a kind of selectivity in all this, Mary. I'd be interested in knowing what you think about this. I think this is what you're alluding to, where the people who seem to be pushing for war with Russia, they're very selective in that, and they cite all the reasons why we should, in their view, go to a war with Russia, but they curiously don't seem to have much interest in other parts of the world where other atrocities like the ones that you just mentioned are taking place. Why do you think they're so selective? What do you think the reason might be?
Well, I mean, I think regards to China, there's too much money to be made in China, and people are, you know, making money through, you know, China, I guess, stocks and everything else. I think that's the reason that we're not doing anything about China. And I think it's unfortunate because I do think people will look back at some point and say, wait a minute, you know, they did all of these things and now they're on our doorstep and we never stop them. But at the same time, I think it's money. Mm-hmm. And
what about the cartel violence? Let's just amp it up a little bit right next to our own country in Mexico. There are tens of thousands, and who knows, by now, probably into the hundreds of thousands, of innocent people who have been murdered by the narcos, by the drug cartels. And a lot of it is with the duplicity of the corruption in the Mexican government. Why aren't we rolling tanks into Mexico and bombing areas in Mexico? I mean, we have a humanitarian crisis just south of our border, and we're not rolling tanks into Mexico. Why not? I mean, I think the answer is self-evident, Mary, because it's not the way to handle that situation. Just like Russia's complaints about Ukraine and the expansion of NATO, etc., those are legitimate complaints, perhaps, if you're Russia, but rolling tanks into Ukraine and killing people is not the proper answer to that question, if you ask me.
Right, I agree. I like that you try to, you know, you're informed, but you're also just asking questions. You're not coming at it from, well, this is, you know, this is the truth, and I'm telling you, you know, this is how it is. I think you're asking as many questions as everyone else, and it's really nice to hear from some of the callers who, you know, who actually have experience in the area, and it's just refreshing to be able to get so many different viewpoints and have you moderating all of it, and I think it's helpful. It reminds me a little bit of Real Clear Politics. I don't own any shares in Real Clear Politics, but it's my favorite way to get news aside from Relevant Radio, because they come at it from all viewpoints. They have opinion and then they have hard news, but it seems to come at it from all viewpoints. And pick up on different news sources that way.
Thank you. Well, you and I are kindred spirits, because I try to do the same thing and stay abreast of as much information as I can. It certainly doesn't mean I have all the answers, but I hope I'm asking some of the right questions. And I'm glad you called today, Mary. Thank you. Let's go to, where did she go? Thank you. Patricia in Philadelphia. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. Thank you.
Great. Patrick, I have a very sensitive subject to bring up, and I hope I don't get whatever the point.
Okay.
You hear me all right? I don't know what...
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Anyway, I hear a bumping, and I don't know why. But at any rate, I would like to bring attention to the very sensitive subject. My daughter-in-law is Russian.
Patricia, hold... Do you have time to hold? Because your phone is acting crazy right now. It's almost like you're pressing the buttons. Do you hear that?
No, I do, but I'm not pressing anything. But at any rate, I just want to talk real quick about the other side also. I mean, Russian and Ukraine have been going on for years. Ukraine's marry Russians, Russians marry Ukraine, but they're going to get quite often. But
tell you what, Patricia, I can't hear what you're saying because of the way your phone is acting. Could you call back, and we'll see if we'll get you on the air right away. But if you can call back, we've just got a bad connection. And I want to hear what you have to say, but not the way your phone is acting right now. So give us a call back, please, and we'll get you on the air. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come straight back to the phone calls. If you get a busy signal, just hit redial, 888-914-9149. I don't claim to have all the answers, but I want to spend time with you asking the right questions about Russia and Ukraine. We'll do more of that on the other side of this quick timeout.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
What do you think's going on in Ukraine and Russia right now? How much of what we're being told is real? How much of what we're seeing is real? How much spin are you getting? And I don't claim to know the answers to those questions, but I believe that not everything you see is real and not everything you hear is correct. So we're spending a little time on the program today sifting through some of these issues and hearing different perspectives on what's going on here. I don't say that either Ukraine or Russia in the past, or NATO for that matter, not to mention the CIA and the United States, I'm not suggesting that they're all as pure as the wind-driven snow and therefore don't have any blame for how we got here. But all of that aside, here we are. So now we are in a situation where Russia has invaded Ukraine, and it looks as though either the invasion of Moldova, Ukraine's neighbor to the west, has either begun or it's about to begin. Stupid Lukashenko, the guy from Belarus. Did you see that, Cyrus?
No, what's this? Well,
he appears to be a bumbling fool because he was giving a kind of a briefing to generals and such, and he has, you know, the big map of Ukraine, and apparently, like a lot of military tactical and strategic plans are on this board, and you know, the media has it. There were cameras in the room, so apparently he goofed and he got. Now that could also be psychological warfare. It could easily be a ruse where they want to make it appear that he's just a big goofball, and he did this. I let the cat out of the bag, and it's possible that that's all just a psychological operation, and that it's intended to make people think one thing when something else is going to happen. So let's get back to the phones. 888-914-9149. Christian in Delano, California. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Patrick.
Sure.
First off, I definitely agree with you. We're between a rock and a hard place on that. As a veteran myself, honestly, it's a real risk, because you got to think about, you know, how much are you really willing to risk, you know, the mm-hmm. health and safety of your loved ones right now, because mm-hmm. that's exactly what's going to happen with today's technology. I mean, it, myself, I'm assuming the media, every time I see the news articles, Twitter, my blood boils, and I definitely, you know, sometimes I want to come to the point where I want to volunteer for, you know, to go fight in Ukraine with the rest of the foreign fighters. But mm-hmm. it's
you know,
a
Ukraine will gladly have you. Have gun, will travel. And President Zelensky has said many times that if you want to come over here and fight, we'll give you a weapon. I thought it was interesting, Christian. I don't know if you watched President Biden's State of the Union speech last night, but part of it was where he says we've got to outlaw. We've got to outlaw automatic weapons and high capacity magazines here. Because he says, why are the deer wearing Kevlar? I don't think the deer are wearing Kevlar. But it's interesting that in Ukraine, they're passing out automatic weapons and high-capacity magazines to anybody who will carry them, including grandmothers, to fight off the Russians. So it's just an interesting juxtaposition. So did you say that you're a veteran?
Yes. I was in Afghanistan. I felt when he pulled out from Afghanistan, I really felt that. I helped set up a lot of things up there, and I lost a few friends from there. Mm-hmm. So,
and all that hard work and all the sacrifice, including, and most importantly, the sacrifice of people's lives, your buddies, now that's all in the hands of the Taliban. And what I can't imagine what must be going through your mind and the minds of the others who were in Afghanistan saying, well, then why do we do all this? What's the point of it?
It's all about the money, from what I've seen.
So, should we be at war with Russia right now? Should we get into it? What do you think?
The hardest part, the best part of me, I mean, the fighting part of me says yes, but you know, I look back at my family and, you know, what do I really, do they really want to risk their safety right now? And that's where I'm at.
Yeah. And that's a very subtle but important point that I'm not sure everybody is taking into account. And that is, if we were to go over there to Ukraine, middle of nowhere, by our standards here in the United States, and it's on the other side of the world, if we were to go over there, you're at risk, yeah, but your family's at risk. Bakersfield could go up in a nuclear mushroom cloud. You're not that far from Bakersfield.
No, definitely not. And I mean, I only have 5 kids. No comparison to you, obviously.
You're a patriarch. But, what are you talking
about? I'm the only provider for my family. So,
and that's the thing. I'll have to leave it at that, Christian. Thank you for the compliment. But this is another thing I think people need to realize. If the United States gets into a war with Russia over in Ukraine, it's not going to stay in Ukraine. So if you live in Huntington Beach, California, it could get to the point very quickly where Southern California ceases to exist. And you and your family and everybody you know is dead. That's how quickly and how widespread this could get. So it's not like, it's not simply, let's send some troops over to Ukraine to fight against Russia, because once we're fighting against Russia there, we're fighting against Russia everywhere. Everywhere. And there are, I feel as though maybe I'm being redundant. I don't mean to be. Let's go to Sherry in Glendora. Thanks, Christian, for your call. Sherry, welcome.
Hi, Patrick. I just wanted to bring up another point, and that is that our children don't need to go to die there to save Ukraine. And just in response to your other caller who was so eager to go, there is nothing stopping him from going and helping them. And maybe if he had skin in the game, you know, he might feel differently. But I have an 18-year-old nephew and a 16-year-old niece, and I'm terrified of a draft. We do not have leadership in this country that is really pro-American, that really cares about our people. And I don't think they'd hesitate to send our children to be cannon fodder. So, we don't know what's going on there. I remember when the Kuwaitis were saying that the Iraqis were unplugging incubators. And now what's coming out in the news is that the Russians bombed a maternity ward. And the Kuwaiti thing turned out to not be true.
But here in the United States, forgive my interruption, the people in power right now are A-OK, you know, hip, hip, hooray, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, when it comes to killing unborn children through abortion. So for them to scruple over, oh, my gosh, they're unplugging incubators. I mean, the hypocrisy reeks, doesn't it?
Yeah, they don't care. They just want to play on our emotions. And I don't trust anything out of the media. I feel like we don't have a clue what's going on. And obviously there are people being hurt, you know, and but Ukraine has never been our ally either. You know,
and they're also not a member of NATO.
True. And when that man was comparing this to World War II, you know, England was our ally and Hitler was advancing. But then also, you know, there was Stalin. You know, there's so many things we don't know about. So many of the wars we've been involved in. Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, were these necessary? I don't think
in retrospect. In retrospect, you know, what's the old saying, Sherry, that hindsight has 20/20 vision. So sometimes in the moment, it's hard to tell, but looking back on it, it becomes clearer. That's for sure. But let me put it this way, Sherry. I'd like to know what you think about this. In the abstract, forgetting for a moment about all the things that led up to what's going on now and who was right and who was wrong and what role did the CIA play, etc. Here we are, where we have an innocent population being attacked by what we would have thought were overwhelming military odds on the part of Russia, the superpower that has rolled into its relatively defenseless neighbor, at least that's what we thought anyway, and is killing people and destroying things. that in itself is immoral. I believe we must oppose Russia for what it's doing here and now, without people saying, well, then you're just a pawn of, you know, the White House that wants to get us in. No, I'm not a pawn of anybody. We can say that what's happening in Russia or in Ukraine right now is wrong, and we can oppose it, and we can seek to find what are the just remedies that are appropriate to do in this case to defend them. But I think this is where some people, you're not one of them, by the way, this is where a lot of people are getting lost, is because they're getting caught up in the, well, yeah, what about, and, you know, all of the backstory to it, and they're not looking at this, I don't think, for what it is in the moment. Yeah. I know you called with some thoughts. Were you able to express all of them, or is there something more you wanted to add?
No, that's all I wanted to express. I just worry for our children more than anything, and then it's just, what do we believe? What can we believe? We don't know, mm-hmm. you know? So God bless the people in Ukraine and whatever soldiers are being used from Russia, too. Who knows if they want to be there, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And there are reports, probably have seen some, that some of these young Russian soldiers, they were told, at least this is what we're being told, that they were told that they were just going on exercises and drills, and they didn't realize they were actually going to be invading Ukraine. Who knows what's really going on? The fog of war, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I really feel like some of the most endangered people on the planet are, like, you know, young men, because they are used in this way. Mm-hmm. Like, they're disposable. So, anyway, thank you for taking my call, and God bless you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. How about Simon in Lexington, Kentucky? Hi, Simon. We're a bit quick. We're a bit short on time, though.
Yeah, appreciate you, call, Patrick. Just want to bring up the Budapest Memorandum, where Ukraine possessed about a third of the Soviet Union's nuclear weapons, and in an effort in 94 to get them to disarm, we promised security for them. And I just kind of feel like we're dropping a ball on that. And I totally get you. Boots on the ground and all that, not necessarily the right option, but definitely got to be given them more support.
You're talking about Ukraine, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we should also. I think we have to do everything we can. And for me right now, everything we can short of war to help the Ukrainians, to oppose what Vladimir Putin is doing, because if he were to get away with it here, who's next? Poland? The Baltics,
100%.
The Baltic countries. Right. I mean, I think that the parallels with Hitler in 1939 are apt. They can be taken too far, and they're not exact parallels. But there is a lesson that we can learn from what Hitler did in the Sudetenland and in Poland. And I think that some of those lessons do apply here. But Hitler didn't have nuclear weapons, and Hitler couldn't destroy the United States almost overnight if we had gotten into war with him then. So the circumstances of that war are different from this war. And the stakes
and so
are
the technology
far
in our
higher.
Area, Patrick,
now.
Is that,
say that again?
We could do this more stealthily. I'm sorry. We could just do this more stealthily. You know, the technology is different, too, than it was, you know, when Hitler was trying to do his thing. So, I mean,
absolutely.
I think we have other ways to sort of mitigate this guy. And so I hope we are working hard to do that, especially based on the fact that we promised them security.
Indeed. Indeed. Thank you, Simon.
Thanks.
I wish we had more time, but thanks for your contribution. Well, hour three is about to start. If you get a busy signal when you call 888-914-9149, just hit redial, and we'll do our very best to get you on the air with your question or comment. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio, and I'll be right back.